Welcome to Ebenezer Baptist Church Online. We're glad you're here. Are you a first-time visitor? Do you want to know more about salvation or church membership? Use your phone to scan the corresponding code on your screen for more information. Join our church family in reading through the Bible. Scan the code on your screen to see our one-year Bible reading plan. We have several online events each week to keep you focused on the Word of God. Monday Manna includes teaching and preaching from different pastors and ministers. We have Bible studies on Tuesdays at 12 noon and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We also have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays from 6 to 7 in the Ebenezer Church Sanctuary. Thank you for your giving. You can donate to Ebenezer through the Tithely app by texting GIVE to the number on the screen or mailing donations to our secure mailbox. You can also give during our in-person services on Sundays at 8:45 and 10:45 a.m. This week at Ebenezer Baptist Church, the Feed the Hungry Ministry will serve today on the Elm Street side of Center City Park in downtown Greensboro at 12:30 this afternoon. Pastor Woods will be the Monday night speaker for Bethel AME's Fall Revival. Service begins at 7 p.m. Funeral services for Tracy Roberts Jones will be held on Friday, August 23rd. At Triad Cremation and Funeral Services. Visitation is at 2 p.m. and service begins at 3. This Saturday is Couples Ministry. All married and seriously engaged couples are invited. Fellowship begins at 5:30 p.m. Child care is provided. And now, enjoy the service.
Church. Today I'll be reading Psalms 27 verses 1 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes that shall stumble and fall. Through an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. O God, my salvation, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Thank you.
I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Now if I just keep on living, and the waves get steep and rough, I won't ask for no more blessing. I'm already blessed enough. May I never get too busy to help another bear his load, 'cause I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Yes, I'll be drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. My cup has overflowed.
I love that song, Drinking from My Saucer. Any blessed folks out there, if you've been blessed by God, he's been a great provider, can you just give him a hand clap of praise? Can you just lift those hands up in the chat? Can you put some emoticons, those clapping hands, some hallelujah, some praise, that God has been a wonderful provider. I just thank the Lord for putting that song on Deacon Mevin's heart, Drinking from Our Saucer. God has given us tremendous grace and mercy. I want to just thank you for your prayers. Been in revival season, different places. On Monday, we'll be at Bethel off of Spur Road. And so continue to pray for us as we're in this season as a church family, just celebrating Jesus the Christ. Well, I'm ready to get into the word. We've been in this theme, Back to the Basics. It's been a delight. I want you to remember, I told you that young people gave me these topics from Ebenezer and also from surrounding areas, just wanting to know more about the Bible, wanting me to dig in with some Bible stories. So we're going to jump back into that progression today. But before we go any further, I want us to go to our memory scripture. Yes, our memory scripture. We've been at James 1:26 and 1:27. We've been speaking this aloud together so that it can get into our mind and seep down into our heart. So if you don't mind and you're ready to jump into to today's selection, let's go to James 1:26 and 1:27. If you read it aloud with me. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I'm telling you, we're getting it. It's seeping down into our hearts. Now we've got to walk this out. These subtopics that I have been going through under Back to the Basics, remember we started out with Noah. We looked at his life, and then we went to Jacob. We dealt with Joseph on last time, and I remember that when life was not fair. Someone specifically came to me from that sermon, and they said, Pastor, I don't think I could be a Joseph. I don't think I could do what Joseph did. Well, guess what? Today, we're going to deal with three people. We're going to talk about Deborah, Barak, and Jael. And I'm telling you, I believe no matter where you come from, your background, you're going to be able to identify in some aspects of these people. So let's jump into our focus scripture. And we're just going to just thank God for who he is by going in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your mercies, your kindness. Thank you for your scriptures, Lord, that they are real, they are true, like a two-edged sword, cutting forward and backwards. Now, Lord, I pray if there's someone listening and viewing that does not know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they grab that gift today. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this moment. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We love you. You are an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 4, and I want us to look at that 8th verse, Judges 4 and 8. Listen to this. And Barak said to her, that's Deborah, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Judges 4:9. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera in the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Wow, that's heavy. I want to speak from a title today. I will go. I will go. In the chat, can you go ahead and type that out? Three words. I will go. Wherever you're standing and sitting, can you speak that aloud? I will go. Well, let's get into a little history of this book, because we're transitioning from Genesis to Judges. I want to give you a little background. Time frame is about 1380 BC to around 1045 BC. It's been about 335 years that the children of Israel have been going through, simply because they have turned their backs so many times against God. Judgment has come over and over again, which leads us to this book that's called Judges. In essence, God raised up men and women as judges in the land as they're going through this time of up and downs. Judges shows how Israel had set aside God's law. They had really come to the point, when you read the scriptures, of doing what was right in their own eyes. You know, each person was just kind of living the way they wanted to live. I guess kind of like where we are today. Before we go into this section of scripture, this is a heavy section of scripture. And I want to put a disclaimer out there. I don't want you to be sending me no hate emails or texts or anything. This is God's word that we're going to be dealing with. We're going to see the highlights of mankind, but yet we're going to deal with some lows in the scriptures. And I'm going to try to hold tight to the scriptures as we look and we try to translate, okay, God, how do we apply this to our today's life? I believe we're going to see a lot of correlations. Some of those correlations are going to be striking. That can be scary. And also there's some that we're going to have to repent and step up and do what God is calling us to do. The historical context that we're dealing with was leadership, for the most part, was held by men. From Genesis, the roles were man would lead the family. The wife, in essence, she would be one that would work around the home, the fields, and take care of the children, simply because of breastfeeding and other things that constrained her there. And those roles were put in together, did not make them any less just because the man was in the leadership role. It just meant God had roles for different parts of the family and even in the community. Because of sin, things had become turned upside down. And here we enter into today's lesson, Judges chapter 4, starting at that first verse. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. I told you, this was a struggle. These people, the Israelites, had witnessed the presence of God from their forefathers. God would literally lead them a fire by night, a cloud by day. That had since ceased, but God's presence was amongst them. But yet they had begun to do what they wanted to do in their own eyes and mind. Evil was in their hearts. This verse 2, so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hadesheth-Hiazim. Now, this is so important as we get to our first point today. You got to realize that there are repercussions to sin. This is the first point. Sin always leads to bondage. Yes, sin always. Anybody, just say always, always. It doesn't matter. Even when we do sins in secret that we think nobody knows, bondage is there. Some of you, I pray that it's not for a whole bunch, may be in sin right now, and you don't want anybody to know. And just because you're at that and you think it's hidden, there's bondage that comes with that. You're wondering when you talk to people, do they know? Did they find out? That's bondage in sin. And the Israelites, because of their sin publicly, God is allowing them to go through a physical bondage. After the death of Ehud, an 80-year period of rest was before that. The children of God forsook God. Isn't that amazing? They were named the children, Israel, the children of God, forsook God. They decided again to go down their own path. And the Israelites continually sinned against God. I just want to interject here. Aren't you glad for God's grace? Can you put in the chat grace? Because if it had not been for God's grace and his mercy in our lives, all of us would have our home in hell. There would be no hope. But I'm so glad that even though we mess up, even though we have struggles, God is still there to love us. Let me show you Judges 4:3. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. For Jabin had 900s of chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So they're in bondage. They're in this situation because of their sin. Israel is. But yet, when the oppression became so heavy, what did they do? They cried out to the Lord. Aren't you glad for a gracious God that will hear our prayers even when the cause of the pressure is us? I will go. Look at that, Judges 4:4. Now, Deborah, a prophetess. Now, Deborah, I do want to bring out some names background here. Deborah actually means bee. You can put that in the chat. You can say it bee, and it's in reference to worker. When you see bees, they're always moving. They're known for their working state. So we can assume that is her background, that she is about the Lord's business. We're going to find, and she's on the move. Notice this, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Elaphathah. Now, I do find this interesting, and I'm going to bring this. She has a husband. She has a husband, but notice Deborah is the one that's pulled to the forefront here, was judging Israel at the time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. She had done this so consistently, she would go to her office. This was her office. It was under a palm tree, and there she would receive prophecies from the Lord. The Lord would speak to her, and people would come to her. Now, I don't know if there was any kickback. Oftentimes in the history, people would bless. They would come with a sacrifice to the prophet or prophetess at that time to support them, to support their family, because this was their job. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Here's the point. A woman with a word. Yes, a woman with a word. I love this. I will go. In the midst of this time of oppression, God raised up a unique female leader named Deborah, this worker bee, this one that's filled with intensity, hearing the word of the Lord. I praise the Lord for women that have stepped up and want to hear the voice of the Lord. I will go. Her place of residence, as we found in the scripture, was located between Ramah and Bethel, around Mount Ephraim, under that palm tree. This put her about, please remember this, about 50 miles from the scene of the battle that we're getting ready to talk about. So she's a good little bit. Remember, they just couldn't get into their cars and run there. They're going to have to go by horse, or they're going to have to walk to get to that battle scene that she's going to be involved with. But God is working something out. I will go. But here is the question that we started to talk about. Where is her husband? Yeah, where is her husband here? I will go. It was in that society that the men were supposed to step up in leadership. It was in that society that the men were supposed to be protectors. And just in my holy sanctified mind, I believe her husband might have been at home. He was in his boom boom room, and he had his big screen TV there, and he had his remote control, and he's doing himself. He is living his best life, and it's sad that his wife is out. She's prophesying. She's under the palm tree dealing with all the people financing his dreams. There ought to be some ouches in the house. It is sad in our society when we get out of our God-given roles and there become struggles within our family. Theologian McDonald, he writes this. Listen to this. It is not the norm for a woman to occupy such a place of spiritual authority, but this was a time of declension. The morality of the time, the roles of the time, as said before, had become turned upside down. Look at Judges 4:6. I will go. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab from Kedesh in Naphtali. Now, Barak, his name in that Hebrew derivative, it means blessed or lightning. Yes, blessed or lightning. So we get a little character description of maybe his personality trait here. Lightning, quick on his feet, a leader in a sense, and he was also blessed. But something had happened because of the spiritual decline of the nation. It says, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. So Barak, I should have been stepping up. He should have been lightning fast and hearing the voice of the Lord, but somehow he had slacked in his calling. Somehow he had decided to sit down and he was not advancing amongst the enemy. He was not willing to hear the voice of the Lord and stand up when God was moving in an amazing way. Verse 7, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And so Deborah has to deliver this word, has to get this word to Barak, because Barak is not going to go. He is not doing what God has called him to do. I will go. Here's the point. Do what God tells you to do. Oh, there ought to be some amens out there. Do what God tells you to do. We are in a society that's struggling because men will not step up and do what God is telling them to do. Women are finding themselves in situations that they shouldn't have to be in. And there's a struggle with relationships within the world. Now, Woodrow Noel writes this in a powerful word. He says, a thorough reading of chapters 4 and 5 makes it clear that women played the prominent roles in the entire incident, and their significance is a reflection on the weakness of male leadership in Israel at the time. The entire book of Judges shows us a behind-the-scenes picture. It's a picture of the spiritual decline and weakness that was then prevalent in Israel. Nothing in the Mosaic law directly prohibited women from taking a place of responsibility that was normally the place of men. Listen to this, and the principle seems clear that when a man was not on the scene to deliver the people, God chose to use a woman. I'm telling you, I will go. Men, I want to speak to you. I just want to ask you, are you doing what God has called you to do? God's plan is still going to go forth. God is still going to save souls, deliver, and set free. We're going to find that in the scriptures. But will you be used in this season and in time? I thank God for women stepping up and being willing, like Deborah, to hear the voice of the Lord and to encourage. She calls for Barak. She said, you need to be doing something. Notice Judges 4:8. There's 10 here. It says, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, this lightning man, this blessed man, he said, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Isn't that interesting? Barak is supposed to be the leader, the commander of the army of the Lord. God is saying, I want to bless you. But Barak is having some kind of mental failure here. He's some emotional disturbances going on. He said, I'll go, but the only way I'm going to go is if Deborah, you go. You got a word, and I just need to make sure. I don't know why. And again, I'm concerned. Where's Deborah's husband? Why isn't he standing up there with her? Why isn't he protecting his wife here? But he puts forth Barak, said, I ain't gonna go. I'm not going into this. Well, God is already giving you a word and you're saying no. Isn't that the plight of where we are in this world? I'll go. Notice Judges 4:9. So she said, I will surely go with you. Praise God for Deborah. Nevertheless, she says, there will be no glory for you in the journey you're taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah said, I'm going to go, but I want you to know this is out of order. You are supposed to go. The word is for you. And now you're bringing me into it. But you know what? It's good because I heard a word from the Lord. I know he's going to bless. But please understand, because I'm going with you, the glory is not going to go to you. It's going to go to a woman. That look at the scriptures. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. This is the point I want you to get out of this. Who is willing to do the job? Yes, who is willing to do the job? Deborah has to get up out of her post, come out of her office under the palm tree, and now she has to go with a man that's having some struggles within himself because he says, I'm not going to go unless you go. I will go. Barak should have been willing just to go because God told him to go. He should have been willing to stand strong because he had the empowerment of God on his side. How many of us need somebody to hold our hand? Yes, yes. How many of us need somebody to push us out when we should be willing to just walk in the Lord? The women were stepping up in this time simply because the men were not willing to step up and actually be in the place of leadership. So the women were stepping up and they were hearing the voice of the Lord. Children were actually taking over the family place as well as the wives because their husbands had abandoned their God-given responsibilities. I tell you, it's a picture of our society, what we're going through. And Pastor J. Vernon McGee, he was preaching a sermon, and it was a good sermon. And he began to talk about he had a friend that had lived overseas all their lives, and they decided they were going to move to America. And as they moved to America, Pastor Vernon McGee, he began to talk to him. He says, I just want to know what's different from being overseas in the place that you were staying and now coming into America. And you know what they said? They said what amazed them most about being in America, that the obedience of the parents were to the children, that the parents were so obedient to the children. I found that interesting because it should have been the other. It shouldn't have been the obedient parents were to the children, but it should have been the children were obedient to the parents. But we all know there has been a movement in our society that in so many senses that the children are ruling the home. There ought to be some amens or some ouches out there. Isaiah prophesies this in Isaiah 3:11. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are the oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. I will go. Notice how the story continues on, Judges 4:10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command. Deborah is with him. She is riding second in command. I would say she's in command in essence, but Barak Lightning, he's leading the role at this point. He has 10,000. He's roused 10,000 men. Maybe Deborah's husband is in this group. We don't know, under his command. And Deborah went up with him. Now, this is so, so important to think in this thought pattern. Deborah is right there in the midst of this oncoming battle. Judges 4:11. Now, Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zaanim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak the son of Abimon had gone up to Mount Tabor. So the enemy gets word that Barak and Deborah is on the way, that Barak has all these troops and he is going to strive to overcome this oppression that has been on the Israelites. Judges 4:13. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron. Yes, yes, these are some bad boys. They have been prepared to take over city by city, country by country. They have the best in military warfare attire. They've got 900 chariots of iron, and all the people were with him from Hadesh-Hirjim to the river Kishon. Here's the point. Are you ready for the fight? Yes, are you ready for the fight? Now, Saints, you got to realize that the enemy is coming against the family structure. He's coming against the leadership structure, even in our society of the days. I see so many families that are breaking apart simply because nobody's willing to lead. I see children trying to step up to the role, but they have not been equipped to do that which God has called for a daddy to do. I see singles are confused because they don't know who to trust. They don't know what structure to be under. Saints, we must come to a point of realizing the enemy does not play fair. He is coming at us, throwing everything, just like we see Sisera coming against Barak and Deborah and the children of Israel with everything that he has. But you got to know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Are there any amens out there? Say, thank God for being with us. I will go. Look at Judges 4:14. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Now, this is important. In the Hebrew, there's a struggle here. There's a tension in text. I talk about this a lot simply because Deborah has to speak to Barak. Somehow, Barak has all these guys with him. He's ready to go to war with Sisera. But when he sees the iron chariots, he sees everything that the enemy is bringing, it seems like he gets lax in his mind. And he's thinking at this point, I'm going back. Lightning, Barak, remember, he's thinking about, I'm going to turn around. But Deborah has to give him a word. She says, up, you got a word. I told you that God was going to be with you. I just want to put out a salute to the ladies in the place. I just want to thank you for supporting men. I want to thank you for encouraging men, even though sometimes they're lazy, even though there's sometimes they don't want to step up. You got to tell them up. Can you put in the chat, just put that two-letter word up and put an exclamation wherever you're standing. So say up, up. We've got to encourage them to step up and do what God is calling them to. She said, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Because of the word, it kind of broke him out of his daze. It broke him out of this darkness that the enemy was trying to put over his mind. And he went because he got a word from a woman, Judges 4:15. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. I love this. The Lord was in it all the time. All he needed was somebody to go. Barak finally steps up and Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Judges 4:16, but Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth, Hirjim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. I will go. This is so good here. God steps up and the enemy who has iron chariots has been overtaken because of the power of the Lord. Here's the point. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Yes, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. I'm so glad Yolanda Adams, one of my favorite singers, she sang this song. She says, there's no pain Jesus can't feel, no hurt he cannot heal. All things work according to his perfect will. No matter what you're going through, remember God is using you. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Barak had to understand it. Deborah already knew it, but all those around need to know it was the Lord. She goes on, she says, there's no sadness Jesus cannot feel. There's no sorrow that he cannot heal. For all things work according to the master's holy will, no matter what you're going through. Remember that God is only using you, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Any amens out there? Look at Judges 4:17. I will go, however, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber. So the leader of the enemy's army, Sisera, he had gotten away. He had gotten away. He jumped off his iron chariot because he had been overtaken by the Israelites, and he literally starts running, and he finds himself, he runs to the tent of Jael. Jael is interesting. Her name is broken down. It means mountain goat. It means someone who is a strong will. Also, also a climber. So we can think about Jael as this one. Maybe she was a hood mom. Excuse me, I don't want to offend anybody, but she knew how to take care of her business. And so now we see Sisera coming to her tent. It doesn't really give us a lot that's going on. My question again is, where is the husband? She's the wife of Heber the Kenite. Where was he? Maybe he was in the battle with the Israelite chasing the other Sisera. I just don't know, but it's my concern of these husbands being off duty, and we can't find them at this point. But Jael, a mountain goat, this climber, this strong woman, she steps up at this time, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And so we're not sure again with our husband, but there was peace with this particular community. So he figured he could go to this place and there not be an issue. Judges 4:18. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear." This is Jael. This is Jael. She's speaking to the enemy here. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. But please get this point. This is probably my favorite point. Be careful whose blanket you sleep under. Be careful whose blanket you sleep under. Some of y'all need to speak that to your man, your woman, whatever. You need to say, be careful whose blanket you sleep under. Notice this, the struggle here. Jael, she seems like she's good. She's welcoming. Hospitality was big in that time, in that season. This was supposed to be a peaceful community. She welcomed Sisera. He's tired. He's been fighting all day. He's been running now, and he just needs somewhere to get his energy back. And Jael said, come on into my house. She has her best blanket. You know them fuzzy blankets. I like them fuzzy blankets. She pulls it up over him, makes him comfortable. We don't know what the season was like. If it was cold, I like to think it was kind of a little chill in the air. And so she covers him up. Judges 4:19, I will go. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened up a jug of milk. She didn't give him water. She got the milk. The milk was, you know, that good, sweet milk that she had there. She had her best jug of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. Covered him with that blanket. I will go. Judges 4:20. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You should still say no. He's giving commands. He is stepping up. He is taking leadership of the home. You need to be careful. I don't want to divert from this, but I want to let you know, you need to be careful who you welcome into your home, who's trying to rule your home, that should not be stepping up just because the person that was supposed to be protecting is not there. Be careful who you let in your door. Sisera commands Jael. He said, I need you to stand at the door. He becomes the husband of the house in the lack of a husband that's there. He said, I need you to stand there. And if any man comes to the door, you tell him that I'm not here. Look at Judges 4:21. I will go. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg. Yes, I'm just staying. I'm trying to stay with the scripture here, and took a hammer in her hand. And notice the juxtaposition of the scriptures here, and went softly to him. So she goes softly to him with a hammer and a peg, and to him, and drove the peg into his temple. I know that's critical. I told there was going to be some lows here. That Jael, this mountain goat, in a sense, this woman, this climber, this strong-willed woman, she said, I'll take care of it. I got a word too. I realize that this is the enemy, and he can no longer live because judgment has come upon the enemies of Israel. Put a peg in his temple and it went down into the ground. This was a strong woman. I don't know if you ever been there. This took a lot of pressure to do this. Went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Judges 4:22. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. Now, this is interesting. All this has been taking place. She has put a Sisera to sleep, had a blanket over him. She's already taken care of him. She's put judgment on him. She's killed the man. She's murdered the man. In a sense, Barak was trying to do the same thing. He finally gets to the city, finally comes to the area. She meets Barak and said, come on over to my house. I know who you're looking for. He said, the man that you're seeking for, he's with me. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. Judges 4:23. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. On that day, God decided to bring judgment upon the enemies of Israel, and God moved in an amazing way. Remember, Deborah had the word from the Lord, and she encouraged Barak to go and step up. He said, I'm not going to go unless you go. But remember, she said, if I go with you, the glory is not going to you. And so Sisera was killed by Jael, not by Barak. He did not get the glory. So every time they had to talk about this glorious battle, Jael's name came up, that she was the victor of this in a place that Barak could have been the one that was glory. Monuments could have been built for Barak, but because he dissuaded from the word of the Lord, because he was slow in receiving what God said, God says, I'm going to raise up somebody else. This is a final word I want to give you. This is an amazing one. We serve a mighty God. Anybody know that we serve a mighty God? As we look at this, we find out the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. God continued to bless them in spite of themselves. What a wonderful story of women stepping up in a place of authority and God using them. But it's an indictment to the men of that time in context that were lazy and did not do what God had called them to do. But I'm so glad that there's a better one than Deborah, Barak, or Jael. There ought to be some hallelujahs out. You know his name is Jesus. Jesus realized that we would be weak so many times and we would need somebody to come along and say up and encourage us. So he came from heaven to earth to walk among men, healing the sick and raising the dead. But remember the time there was someone that came to Jesus and said, I will go. Remember Luke 9:57. Now what happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his hands. I will go. Except then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. There's so many excuses when it comes to following the Lord, but we got to step up and realize that with God, all things are possible. Luke 9:60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's the mandate that God has put upon those who are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 9:61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Please understand, when you say I will go, it's going to cost you something. This is why I'm so glad that we have Jesus the Christ who paid the price for us. He knew that we would be weak and fearful. He knew that we would miss the word of the Lord so many times. But I'm so glad that's why he went to the cross of Calvary and took the nails in his hands and nails in his feet for you and me. I'm so glad on that cross of Calvary, he cried out, it was finished. He dropped the head and his locks of his shoulder. They put him in a cold grave. He stays there 3 days, but he gets up with all power and all glory. And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, praying for us so that when we say we will go, we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on our side. And we know that God orders our steps. And we know that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I will go. Saints, this is our season. As I look at the moral decline of our nation, of our world, as I see these rumors of wars and real wars, when I see these struggles in the family, that families are exploding and then they're imploding and the enemy is just gobbling up. We see the roles of men and women are being skewed and nobody knows what to do. Children don't know what to do. I see there's a time that we've got to get in the word and we've got to stand strong and say, God, I will go. The enemy is a master at his plan. He's going about stealing, killing, and destroying. But please never forget, God said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. What's your choice going to be today? First, I want to invite you to have a Savior. Yes, his name is Jesus. We talked about him over and over again. You've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, said you will be saved. You got to know you need a Savior. Wherever you are, man, woman, child, you got to know you need a Savior and cry out to him. It's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift. Would you accept that gift from God today so that you can step up into that which God has called you to do? In this season and time, we need soldiers for the Lord. To the saints, it's time to get in God's word. It's time to pray more. It's time to hear the voice of the Lord and say, Lord, I will go, and allow God to work through us as he orders our steps, that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, that we can save our families, that we can encourage our children, our husband, our wives, our singles, to know that God's word is true. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this word. Thank you for allowing these scriptures to be in this holy script. Lord, thank you that we can see the ups and downs of mankind, the moral decay, and also we can see the highlights of how you can step in and use us in spite of ourselves. Lord, I thank you for touching hearts today. I thank you for saving souls. I thank you for encouraging the saints, Lord, to say, I will go, and allow you to do the work in our lives. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, he is. Oh, oh, oh. in the lion's den. And I bet you if you ask him that today, he'll tell you.